which is their feast day in the Catholic Church. But usually you don't praise the angels. They're really only, you know, messengers from God.
I see.
Yeah.
So you had quite a good background. And why don't you tell me then how it became a real personal connection with you, with angels?
Well, a lot of experiences, you know, I've had a lot of encounters with angels in dreams, and mostly what happened after the death of my parents several years ago, there were many dreams and visions that I received from angels. My mom was involved also. And I just kept on having, you know, this feeling of receiving messages and being guided to do some support work around this, that this was, you know, part of my purpose. And I felt it was part of my mission to connect more with the angels, since they were connecting with me and almost like pushing me out the door, you know, like, go do this work. And I just felt, you know, I just started doing it. This was probably like 12 years ago.
I see.
When I really felt.
Okay, so when people come to see you, what kind of services do you offer then?
Well, what I'm doing is the Archangel Oracle cards, which I love the Archangels. So I work mostly with them. And I have the there are 15 Archangels in the deck of cards. And I usually just, you know, I read whatever the cards say. Whatever comes out and whatever I hear is the messages that I give, but it's through the Archangel Oracle cards. I use other cards, too.
Mm-hmm.
I use the Saint and Angels, and I use the Ascended Masters, but mostly I love using the Archangels cards.
So you do a type of, like, tarot card reading, except they're angel cards?
Exactly. It's like tarot reading.
Okay. I see. And then the correct energy that they need to receive comes up in the card, and you pass that on to the
card. Whatever comes up in the card, usually if Archangel Michael comes out, any other Archangel Raphael, I usually just receive any kind of message. You know, they all have their own purpose, and, you know, all the archangels have their job description, so. So they, you know, I can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, let's go through some personality descriptions, and we can start with Michael. Tell us about Michael, Archangel.
Michael is a great archangel. You know, he's one of the most powerful ones. What I love about Michael is that he's the chief of archangels, and he really escorts away the lower energies of fear that's among us. He cuts all kind of negativity, and he gives us a lot of peace. So every time, you know, you ask Michael for his help, he absolutely is near you right away in any kind of situation.
Now, some people may think, well, he's one of the head angels. Would he send an assistant, or is he able to be in 1,000 places at once? And
He could provide that protection and you know, and give us that courage instantly. It's really amazing. And he is called he who is like God. So he's really on the highest hierarchies.
I heard Dorian Virtue talking about Michael, and what she said is whenever you're tired throughout the day, you can ask him to fill you with vim and vigor, and he will energize you.
I do
that from time to time.
Yes. There's a lot of prayers that you can ask Michael to you just to give you vitality and energy, and he will. I usually do that in the morning when I can't wake up.
Okay. Did the Dorian Virtue tapes and books influence you, or were you already deeply involved in this subject?
I was already involved. One of my first teachers is my teacher and mentor. Her name is Reverend Janie Howard Feldman, and I met her probably like 14 years ago when I arrived to Oregon, and I started, you know, receiving her tapes. She would send a tape at that time. I joined her group. Her group that I joined was called the HaHa Group, which means the Human Angelus Group.
Uh-huh.
And it was people who were striving, you know, to shine for God, you know, in our earthly service. So I was really interested in her teachings. That's how I started with her. Then I have attended Doreen Virtue's workshop.
I see.
Really, really interesting.
Right, and she's been able to really penetrate the mainstream. Her books and tapes are actually in every bookstore in the country.
They are.
You know, so it's quite widespread.
They are.
So let's move on and talk about the Archangel Gabriel.
Okay, well, Gabriel is the archangel who brings good news. He's a messenger of God. He usually helps writers and teachers, journalists. He also is very close to the children. He also helps parents with children. And he's called a messenger of God.
Okay. So issues involving children, it would be good to call out to Gabriel.
Absolutely.
And aren't there colors associated with these angels?
There's also colors, yes.
Okay.
Michael's color is like a cobalt blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of a dark blue. And Gabriel is a dark yellow.
I see.
Dark yellow and white. He also represents purity.
Are you able to physically see them or their shape?
I have seen them in dreams.
Uh-huh.
And I don't actually see them. I see little sparks of lights, which I know that there are little angels around me.
Wow.
I just hear them. I feel the presence.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, let's go to the third one. How about Uriel? Or Ariel? Is it pronounced?
So we have an Ariel and we have Uriel. So let me tell you, Uriel is one of the four main archangels.
Okay.
He is called God is Light. And he's the angel of wisdom and philosophy. You know, he gives us a lot of insight, a lot of new ideas when we need to learn things. Uriel is a wonderful archangel. The other archangel is Ariel.
Okay.
And Ariel, yeah, that's with an A. She's called the Lioness of God. She's sort of a female energy, like Michael, but in the female energy. And she helps provide a lot with environmental issues. She helps with the care of animals, with our physical help, and she also helps with prosperity.
Oh, that's important.
Anytime, you know, you need financial need, call on Ariel.
Okay, so we missed one of the archangels, a very important one, known as Raphael.
Raphael, yeah. Raphael, he's a healer, he who heals, and he assists healers and provides healing, physical and emotional healing to anyone who calls upon him.
Now, my understanding is he is represented by a glowing green light.
He has an emerald green light.
Emerald green.
Yeah, he does.
And I think what I've done is just visualize this sort of ball of green light come to, you know, maybe a part of my body where I'm hurt. I mean, do you do that, or?
Yes, definitely. You can send any kind. I mean, you can do it. Anyone can do it, you know, on their own. You just surround yourself in a green light. Whatever part of the body is not feeling well, you can also, you know, see that part of your body with green light. And there will be healing. You know, I've done it several times. I had many years ago, I had a gallbladder surgery.
Yes.
And I was in a lot of pain. And I remember that I had kept on having the pain for several months before I got my surgery, because I didn't know what it was at the time. But I would call for healing, you know, and I would see myself, you know, surrounded with the green light. And I would call Raphael, I would call Michael, everyone. And you know that I was able to sleep several nights without that horrible pain. If anybody has experienced it, it's not very nice.
Oh, that's
but it was really helping. I mean, they were really trying to help me cope with it until finally I had to go to surgery.
I see. You know, it's interesting, when we grow up in a church, I always think in the back of my mind, well, I have to go to church to access angels or God or Jesus. It's still there in the back of my mind. But the whole message of metaphysics is, you can do it yourself, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you just have to ask. And I tell a lot of my clients, they forget to ask. There was one young girl that she was so concerned with her money problems. She's very young. She wanted to go back to school, and she was asking that, you know, how could she do this? And she was scared. And I said, well, why don't forget to ask? And she says, well, I don't know how to ask. Just ask, you know, just say, you know, angels come with me and surround me and give me guidance to keep on doing this. And then, you know, she called me and she said that she was able to get into college, back into college, that her dad helped a little bit to pay for it. She got a partial scholarship, and she was really happy that she had pursued that.
Right.
So just ask. And I tried to help my clients, to tell them, you know, this is what's happening, and this is what the angels are saying for you. So it's really good to, you know, to have that counseling or have that angel reading, which helps.
What's refreshing about you, and this is why I have you on the show, is because you don't make it complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated.
It doesn't, you know. it isn't complicated. People ask me, you know, how do you connect with the angels? How do you hear them? Well, you know, thank God I have the gift, and I am so grateful because of this gift. And we all have, you know, certain gifts. We just have to follow and pursue whatever whatever we feel our gift is and whatever we want to do to help serve. So, you know, I enjoy this gift enormously, and it's really not hard. And it's not hard for other people who, you know, you don't have to be psychic or anything like that to talk to the angels. And like you say, you can just sit down and say, you know, please come help me. And, of course, you could start reading more about the angels, the archangels, and ask them. Don't forget to ask, because, you know, angels will never interfere with our free will. You know, we all have our free will. We all have our beliefs. And the angels will surround us and protect us. Even if people who don't believe in angels, they will be protected by angels. We're all, you know, we have our birthright to have guardian angels when we're born. We have them. But you have to ask. And then, you know, once you ask, they just come in instantly and rapidly. And they give you the divine guidance. They send you the people that you need to help you. So it's really just a thing of giving them that permission.
So the way you're talking about this, it sounds like there's more angels than human beings.
Well, you know, I don't know how many. Billions and millions. And more. There's a lot. There's a lot of angels.
But my understanding is they've never been human and walked upon the earth.
No.
They're from a different realm.
They're from a different realm, and they're from the angel realm. You know, the angels, they're really messengers from God, and they're pure divine beings. You know, they're beings of divine light. They want to help us in all areas of our life. And they were created. You know, sometimes I see they're like postal carriers.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they bring the messages.
Like in the Bible, sure.
Like in the Bible.
My understanding, studying metaphysics, is that they will only intervene if there is, let's say, you're about to get in a car accident and it's not your time. They will grab the steering wheel.
Absolutely.
But short of that, they will not interfere.
No, they won't. They won't. So, you know, skeptic or believers, you know, angels believe in you. And they see the inner light, and they see our true talents, and they know that we do have all an important life mission. And they take care of everyone. If it's really a life-threatening situation like you just mentioned, they absolutely will take care of you.
Right. So let's talk about, tell me a little bit how people can reach you, because this is a national show, and we are both in Portland, Oregon, which is a very metaphysical place.
It is.
We're so lucky up here in this city. Do you do phone counseling, or talk about a little bit of your sessions with your clients?
Well, I'm working out of, I work at Crystal Heart Wellness in Beaverton, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And I have my office there. It's a wellness center where there's other practitioners that work there with me. And that's where I give my angel sessions. You just have to make your appointment. And you could also visit my website, which is angelsarenearus.com.
I like that.
Angels Are Near Us. Yes, I was really inspired, by the way, with that name. I was trying to, when I was first going to work on my website, you know, a lot of names came, but this one just was clicking and clicking and clicking. And Angels Are Near Us, Angels Are Near Us. So
I know that feeling, because when I
just had that
first
feeling all
movie,
the time, that the angels were so near that... Like, yeah,
it's true.
Name.
When I made my first movie, the title came to me over and over again, The Sands of Time, The Sands of Time, The Sands of Time.
Uh-huh.
And so it was not a hard decision to name my movie.
Yeah, and for me, I didn't think twice or, you know, three times. I said, okay, it sounds a little bit long, but I said, no, they're just saying angels are near us, so put that down.
But it's easy to remember. So
angels are near us. And, yeah, I'm at Crystal Heart Wellness. This is in Beaverton, Oregon, and there's more information on the website if anybody would like
right.
more information.
Now, Crystal Heart, this store, it's full, top to bottom full of crystals. Do you use crystals with your angel work?
Yes, I do. There's wonderful crystals. The one that I really love is called Angelite.
Okay.
And that's a wonderful crystal to contact angels and to be in communication with angels. Celestite is another one, too.
Celestite and Angelite.
Exactly.
And these are they similar to like a quartz crystal or a rose quartz, or what are they like?
I don't know. Well, the Angelite is a celestite,
uh-huh.
which is you know, when they clean it up, it comes out this really baby blue. It's a beautiful. It's in different forms of a stone. It could be like it's like a quartz.
Okay.
It's kind of. I'm not sure.
I see. And that's sure how it got its name, Angelite, right?
It's called angel light. I have some here at my house and in my office.
Okay. But I think any kind of crystal amplifies energy.
Crystal does amplify because, you know, a lot of stones can really help us heal also. You know, a lot of the green stones, like, are related to Archangel Raphael, like the emerald. The blue stones are related to Michael because of the color blue.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of sapphire or blue topaz. And the rose quartz is, of course, a loving, loving stone. That's, you know, when you have a broken heart, use rose quartz. Or just to feel more love in your life, you could use rose quartz as well.
Exactly. So let's talk about Metatron. Now, there's an interesting story behind Metatron because he actually was a human being. So why don't you tell that story?
Well, Metatron, he was formerly a prophet. He was a prophet Enoch.
He
did ascend into being an archangel because he had a very virtuous life. By the way, Metatron heals learning disorders in childhood issues.
Oh.
And he works with the indigo and crystal children.
Okay.
And I know that Metatron also, in the Jewish tradition, Kabbalah, Metatron is considered the highest of the archangels. And, you know, he was positioned in the crown of the tree of life. And they would, you know, relate him with the tree of life and the seed of life and the Star of David. So they saw him as doing healing work and clearing out dark energy. So that was Metatron. That's the belief of Metatron. But he was a prophet. He was the prophet Enoch.
Right. And just so people know, the Book of Enoch was taken out of the Bible because it does refer to a lot of angels. And a more complex story.
It does. I remember you mentioned that one.
Yes.
Talking about that, yes.
And I think only two human beings have never died a mortal death, and it's Enoch and Noah.
Noah, yes.
We're both ascended to heaven.
You know, there's another archangel called Sandalphon.
Sandalphon, okay.
Sandalphon, he was formerly the prophet Elijah.
Okay, that was the other one.
Elijah,
okay.
Yes.
Elijah, okay.
He ascended into Archangel also.
Okay, and so tell me about, I think Elijah did die a natural death, correct? And then became the angel?
He did, yes.
And tell me about Sandalphon.
Sandalphon, he works with musicians.
Okay.
And he uses the music for healing purposes, so anybody who heals can call upon Sandalphon. He helps people with aggressive tendencies. He also delivers a lot of our messages to God. He's a great messenger also.
All right. So now we're getting into the more esoteric angels that people may not have heard of. So why don't we go through your angel card deck and talk about some of these other ones that may be new to us.
Okay. The other archangel that I really, really lean upon a lot is Chamiel. Chamiel, he is he who sees God. And his specialty is that he eases anxiety. He gives us a little bit more calmness and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I love him just to, when I call upon him, just to feel more peaceful. And he does bring personal and global peace. He helps, you know. He also helps to find lost objects.
He does.
And lost people.
lost objects. Well, there's quite a need for that.
Chamiel might bring him back, but he does find lost objects. Once I was so upset because I had lost a pair of earrings that my mom had given me before she had passed away. And I was so upset because I couldn't find them anywhere. And I said, oh, angels, you know, I know that they're around. So if somebody took them, I hope it's for their highest good. But if not, bring them back to me. So I asked Chamiel several days, I think it was like 2 weeks. And I found him at my hairdresser's home because she cut my hair one day at her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I left them there. And I just found them there. And I was like so happy. Oh, my God.
He helped you.
Okay, so I was so, so grateful to Chamiel.
Well,
he's a great, great archangel. The other one is Azrael. Azrael, whom God helps. He helps people transition to heaven or, you know, when they pass over.
Okay.
And he heals those who are grieving. So Azrael is a great archangel also.
Azrael. Okay, and that's a male entity?
He's more a male.
Male.
And
are there colors associated with these?
So Azrael, his color is like cream color, beige.
Beige?
Yeah, and Chamiel is a pale green.
Okay, now if you buy the angel cards, there are pictures, correct? Or artist renditions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the archangel cards have pictures.
and they might help you visualize.
Yeah, definitely, because they're beautiful pictures. I love these pictures.
Is that a Doreen Virtue?
The Doreen Virtue,
angel
yes.
Deck?
Card deck. It's the Archangel card deck. And all these pictures are from this artist, Marius Michael George, which are beautiful pictures.
Okay, and did you say there's only 15 cards in the deck? Or?
There's 15 Archangels.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a smaller deck of cards.
Deck has 45.
And what are the other remaining 30 cards?
The other Archangels?
Okay.
Yeah, so there's four. There's four of each Archangel.
Oh,
four
I
messages
see.
Of each one. So do you want me to go through the rest of the
sure,
Archangels?
Sure, let's go through the other ones.
Okay. So let me see who we're missing here. Haniel, she's more a feminine energy. She's glory of God. She helps with clairvoyance. So those who see, who have this clairvoyant sight, she assists you in that. She honors all our sensitivity. She's also associated with Venus and the moon. And her color is like a pale blue.
Pale blue, okay.
Pale blue. Then we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah is mercy of God. He helps to forgive and heal emotional wounds.
Oh.
And he helps in transitions and positive changes in our life. So
okay,
his
that's
color
very important.
Is like a violet, a red-violet.
Violet or red.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm sure if you called upon a different angel that the message would still get through. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Right.
You know, it just depends. You know, when I'm doing a reading, of course, whatever archangels come out, that's the archangel that's for that person. It's funny because sometimes the person who's, the other day I think I had somebody who had like a pink sweater on or whatever. So Jophiel, who is the archangel, she's called Beauty of God, her color is pink. And she came out several times in the deck, I think two or three times. And she would give her, you know, she was giving her a lot of messages of to beautify her home or her career that she was really interested in doing something at her job. So it was funny because the color was related to Jophiel. And I said, well, she's definitely around you and she's trying to help you. So to listen what she says. And Jophiel, by the way, she helps artists also. She brings a lot of beauty, organization to our home, to our office. And she heals negativity.
Okay, very good. And any other ones that we haven't talked about? Or
who else do we have? Do we,
does that cover the...
I have Raguel.
Raguel?
Raguel, who's friend of God.
Okay.
And Raguel brings harmony to our relationships and helps heal misunderstandings and conflicts.
Which is really important because as we go through life, you know, it's so complicated once you become an adult.
It's very complicated. So
you know, whenever I'm in a group of adults,
yeah,
there's almost always
any kind of conflict, just call on Raguel. She's really, she helps us with our friends, with our family. She helps heal, you know, misunderstandings, arguments. Her color is aqua blue.
Aqua blue.
She feels like a feminine energy.
Because don't you feel that that's true whenever you're in any kind of group of adults, there's issues that come up and, you know, agendas.
Absolutely. We're not like children anymore.
No, I mean...
We have that innocence.
No, we all have a strong ego as an adult, and I kind of miss being able to play with a group of 25 kids.
Exactly.
Because I spent my whole youth doing that. You play with huge groups. And then you kind of walk into big groups as an adult, and it just doesn't work that way anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Even in New Age settings, I mean, it's better, obviously, in a metaphysical setting, but still, you know.
Oh, definitely, we all have our, you know, our...
Well, we're human.
We're human. We have our different perspectives of life, and I guess, you know, for me, asking for help is just a great support. It's a great support just to have the angels around us, you know.
So,
I'll see the archangel.
Yeah, I've never heard of that angel. Can you spell
Raguel.
That? Raguel. Can you spell that?
That's R-A-G-U-E-L.
Okay, and the color?
And that is friend of God.
Friend of God. And the color with Raguel?
It's aqua blue.
Aqua blue.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful color. And so that gives people an idea of the main family. Or you can just call out if you're in a crisis. Archangels, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the angel is always with you, and I want to really remind everyone that everyone has their guardian angels. We're born at least with two guardian angels in our life, and anytime we have any kind of conflict or, like you're saying, any life-threatening issue, your guardian angels are there. And when guardian angels feel that they need more help, they keep on calling others. They come, you know, just...
Oh.
So they can call the archangel that is needed at that time. Absolutely. They can call on Michael, Raphael, you know, if you're if you need healing, they'll call on Raphael. So whatever you need, if you're learning, if you're going to college, if you're studying, just call on Uriel. He's great too.
Oh, for studying.
But if you don't know, you know, the names of the archangels, I know it's hard to know all of them. just say, you know, archangel, help me learn, teach me, help me, give me prosperity. And
right.
Ariel will come with the prosperity.
What's the best way to get to know your guardian angel or their name or their character?
Well, I do a meditation, and I do classes also on guardian angels and archangels. Who's ever interested, I usually do them once a month. I don't have anything scheduled right now, but I usually do meditation so you can get to know your guardian angels. And, you know, anybody can do it. If you sit down, people who meditate, you can sit down and ask them to come. You can also ask them to come in your dream. It's really easier for angels to come and give you messages in your dream. And you can ask them, you know, what is your name? Tell me who you are. What is my mission? What am I doing here? And, you know, you will receive the guidance. You just really have to trust and know that they will be with you.
That's a really great idea, to use our dream time practically.
The dream time is great, yes.
To maybe write down our questions before we go to bed.
It'd be great, yeah, to write a little note. You could put it under your pillow.
First thing in the morning, and see what you get, right?
And see what answer you get.
Right. So do you say that the same two guardian angels stay with you your whole life or perhaps change?
Your guardian angels are with you until the day you pass over.
Ah, and you know yours well, I'm assuming.
I know mine well, yeah. The first one, I know her name is Rosanna, and she's a wonderful, wonderful guardian.
Mm-hmm.
I love her dearly.
Okay. Well, I have to bring up this topic, okay? Is there such a thing as fallen angels or angels who have gone to the dark side?
There is. You know, I can't say. I mean, I could talk about it a little bit. I don't like to talk about angels. But, you know, the way I see it is there's always negativity in, there's always, you know, the white side and the dark side. But I guess just these angels didn't want to comply with what God was saying or doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have our beliefs, and the fallen angels could be what I see as negativity in our world right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Kind of intermingling amongst humans and causing problems.
Exactly.
I see.
So there is a way that you could protect yourself from negativity, of course, meditating or praying or...
And you would know pretty quickly by contacting an angel if it was a negative spirit or, you know, it would be obvious, I think.
Depending. I mean, you don't contact them, I guess, you know, but if
there's
any kind of negativity around
you,
you can ask for help because, you know, the light comes really fastly. And I think goodness will always prevail.
Right.
Or before any negativity.
The light is brighter than the dark.
But if you feel any negativity around you, you can always call for help. And mostly Michael. I mean, Michael is the one who comes with his sword and cuts that negativity.
Okay, without naming names, why don't you tell me some practical stories of clients who have come to you and how they have been helped?
Sure. Let me remember. I know that...
Or you can change the names if you want.
Yeah, you know, the truth is I don't remember everybody's story or the readings I have because there's so many people, of course, that I have read now. But some do just stand out than others. And I guess the angels don't let me remember because sometimes some people come and say, oh, you know, this happened to me and when you told me that I was going to get this job. And I'm like, I really don't remember. But that's great that you got it, right? So there is this person who was... she had been working for a company, I think, for more than 10 years, an older lady, and her dream was always to be a librarian. And she said that she had asked her angels about changing her job, that she was so scared because, you know, after 10 years of being in the same job, losing those benefits, and I said, well, you know, let's ask them, and we did. So they really indicated to her that it was her time to change. And just, I heard about her a few weeks ago, and she told me that she did change. She went to work for a major bookstore, and she was just radiating with joy.
She loved to
go to work
every
day. Imagine the fears that she had, you know, and I understand that. The fear that she had was just tremendous. She says, I cannot leave that job because, you know, it's my financial security. I don't even know what I'm going to go do. She just went out there and just left the fear behind.
Okay, so the angels helped her over this bridge.
Well, they really helped her, and they helped her find what she wanted.
Okay, great. And what about any physical healings of people who have come to you that are sick or
ill? Haven't heard of physical healings. We do always, there, people, I haven't had people who are been very, very sick. I know that they do ask for their health, and they, you know, pray for their health, or they do meditations. And I always just tell them, you know, encourage them to keep on asking, and if it's a healing that you need, ask for Raphael to come and can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you do any phone work if people were to contact you?
I also do phone readings, yes.
Okay, why don't you give out the contact information again?
Okay, so you can get all the information at angelsareneros.com. You can also call me, and my number is 503-807-0896, and we can set up an appointment for a phone reading or a reading in person. And I have half-hour readings and one-hour readings.
Okay, great. So are there other aspects of angels that I have not covered yet or other issues you'd like to bring up?
I can't think of any more right now. I mean, we've talked about all of them.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying when you do a reading, are you in a kind of a light trance, would you say, or?
You know, it's just I just hear them clearly.
You hear them.
It's like I don't know if I'm in a trance or not. I just, yeah, definitely. It's sort of a trance because I'm completely, you know, involved in what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
hearing them. But it's fun, you know. Angels are fun.
How do you discern just that voice in your head between that and an angel's voice?
Absolutely. Usually I ask the angels for help when I start doing a reading. I say, you know, just remove my ego and my thoughts from here because I don't want anything to do with this session. So it just comes. I could hear them clearly what they're saying, what they're trying to, you know, to convey to others, mostly because we're looking at the cards and I'm receiving the messages. It's much easier. And, you know, angels and archangels usually do not send us bad news. I mean, they will not send us something that is harmful, something that feels, you know, shameful. It's always a message, you know, a very positive one, in a way where they're trying even to tell you something that will maybe happen in your life that you won't like, but they say it such in a way that I can convey that message.
I see.
You know, there's times when family members of some of my clients have been ill and I knew they would be passing over. And, you know, to tell that to someone is very hard.
It is. Yeah.
But what the angel just helped me say, you know, just be closer to this family member right now. Take care of her. Do things for her because this is the time when you need to be closer. So, you know, they start getting the message that you know, something will happen to this person. And angels, well, you know, they don't see death the way we see it. God doesn't see death the way we do.
No, it's a transition.
Only a transition to a new life.
And do you feel like when someone's at a big crossroads in their life, they really have to make a decision to go this way or that way, that you can just ask for a sign or a symbol?
Exactly. You know, sometimes the answers are not so direct. Also, I tell my clients, the angels really give us divine guidance, and we have to remember that we have our will, our free will, and we can decide and choose whatever we want. They can give us the guidance. And like you're saying, Mike, you know, we do receive signs. Ask for signs, and you will receive the guidance. You will know that sign is for you. You know, you can hear a song, you know, on the radio that you know that's an answer to what you asked for. You can have a dream. You can hear somebody else, you know, tell you something that is a message that you know it's only for you.
Right. It'll just, you'll feel
just
it in your fix. Heart.
Like, yeah, this is it.
Right?
This is it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So people can just ask away for those symbols and signs.
Exactly.
It could be an animal. You know, like a bird or a dove or something.
Exactly, doves, eagles, whatever. Whatever you ask, whatever you know, the message is for you.
Right. Well, this has been very enjoyable. Any last words about the angels before
Can I just make one announcement? I would like to announce that my teacher and mentor is coming next month to visit at Crystal Heart.
Okay.
And she's Janie Howard Feldman. She's an author of several books on angels, and she's been connecting with the angels for more than 45 years. So I'm really excited. She'll be at Crystal Heart Books. She'll be giving private readings. She plays the harp just like an angel, so she's bringing her harp. And she's really inspiring Earth Angel. And
that's really wonderful.
If anybody wants to make any appointment with her, you know, just click on crystalheartbooks.com, and you can make an appointment there. She will also be giving a wonderful class on soul protectors, and that is protecting our soul against any kind of negativity.
Excellent. So I know the Crystal Heart has all kinds of wonderful speakers, and if you're in this area, please come to Crystal Heart Books.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us today, Linda.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
have a good night.
Thank you.
You can hang up. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I have to remind the guests to hang up to clear the lines because you can hear me better. So Linda Torres, really a great expert and healer with the angels. Thanks for joining us. So we have some more time left, and we may have a call-in guest. I'm not sure. I have another person who wanted to call in about angels, but if not, you know me. I always have stuff to talk about, and my main theme to my show is the Anunnaki, and we're going to talk about dragons and mythology for the remainder of the show. And I'm going to rattle on a bit and then talk about a book that's very important I hope you all read. And dragon mythology is it's very important to many different cultures around the world. When you're in my field, the ancient astronaut study or field, what you do is you look at the oldest writings you can find, the oldest stories or mythology you can find, and the oldest buildings or artifacts you can find. And with those three tools, they tell a story. And all around the world, we'll start in China, for instance, there's a very old document called the Yi King. And it talks about flying dragons that descended down from the heavens. They didn't talk about them as gods. They were just a different group. They were very advanced. And they came down and they mated with humans. And the first kings of China are referred to as kind of like dragon-human hybrids. And that's Chinese mythology and artwork is replete with the symbols of the dragon and the year of the dragon. And by the way, they always think of dragons as very friendly and benevolent and helpful in their culture. And now you look at the history of Europe, and it's different. There's tremendous dragon mythology all throughout Europe. We have tales of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table who would go out and spear the dragons. And of course, this is always taught as mythology, but once again in my field, we believe that mythology is based on fact and that there is some truth to this. Dragons of Europe are thought of more as evil sometimes, or possibly stealing treasure and cattle from the villages. And I've researched some very old documents, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, dating way back, 1,500 years, and they talk about, they write down stories and tales of dragons who come down from the mountains and who breathe fire and who may burn up a church or may burn up a wooden ship or may steal a human or kidnap a human or kidnap cattle or livestock and or gemstones and gold and go back to their caves. And just to give you some example how widespread this is, in England alone, there's 70 villages or towns who have specific stories relating to dragons and interacting with humans. So the book I'm referring to is called Flying Serpents and Dragons, The Story of Mankind's Reptilian Past, and it's by R.A. Boulay, B-O-U-L-A-Y. It's a fantastic book. It was really an important book in my journey, and I've come to believe that in our past there was another group that had these reptilian or dragon-like features from another star system or planet. Many people say it's from Draco, the constellation of Draco, which is where we get our word draconian, by the way, that were here a long time ago. And I don't think it was the only group, but I think they were around in the background. I think the Anunnaki were more human, they looked more like us, and we're, of course, directly related to them and as they are with us, and they were deeply involved in gold mining and needed help with the gold mines, and that's where humans came in. And this is all outlined in great detail in my DVDs, The Sands of Time and The Temples of Stone, and they're on my webpage, each radio host here has their own webpage. So if you click on Odyssey, you can go to my page and read in detail. I had them printed really large so you could read all of the information on my DVDs about this Anunnaki, this third party. The first party, I believe, is God, who is the supreme being who created the heavens and the universe. And the second party is human beings. And then the third party is the Anunnaki, and this outside group, this intermediary, who was very present on this planet for a long time. They left behind a lot of evidence. They did not bother to really clean it up too much. They just left it there, whether it's pyramids in Peru or pyramids in Egypt or pyramids in China or ancient gold mines in Zimbabwe or ancient copper mines in Michigan, which many, many people do not know about, but there's extremely old copper mines in Upper Michigan. And if you Google or Yahoo one thing tonight, why don't you check that out? And the Indians of Upper Michigan do not have a tradition of copper artifacts and jewelry. They simply don't. So this was not about the Indians and mining for copper. This was another group before them. And very complex mining operations. The gold was not just there in the ground for the taking, as in Zimbabwe and Africa, where there are mines that are 50,000 to 70,000 years old, and we have carbon dating of tools that traces them back that far. The gold was in veins, and it had to be a chemical process had to be used to get the veined gold out of the rocks. It was very complex and very elaborate, and it's hard to believe that a primitive man who was just trying to maybe get some fire and shelter would go to this extreme. And what would primitive man need with gold anyway? So back to dragons. Let's talk about Mexico. Their main benevolent god who they worshipped was Quetzalcoatl, who was the flying serpent. That's what that name means, Quetzalcoatl. And there's tremendous artwork they left behind of flying serpents and dragons all throughout the Mayan and the Aztec culture. Quetzalcoatl, this particular, I don't like to call them god. I like to call them custodians, actually, because I feel they had custodial control of the earth, but were not god. This custodian had, he was a teacher. He was very benevolent. He would help human beings in the area of agriculture as far as terracing the fields so that they would produce more crops. He helped them with the advanced construction of pyramids, such as in Chichen Itza. He taught them astronomy, and that's why the buildings are aligned to the solstices and the equinoxes and the stars, is because he gave them that knowledge. And he taught them art and architecture and language and culture and music. And these societies sprang up out of nowhere. They literally sprang up overnight. And that's what's amazing, is that these pyramids were constructed in the same way all over the world, whether it's in China or in the Middle East, in Samaria, or in Egypt, or in Peru, or in Mexico. And it's like I said, I have pictures and descriptions in my first DVD, The Sands of Time. And I have a link. Well, actually, what I'm doing is people can just send me the $20 for the DVD through PayPal, which is the secure PayPal site, and I will send out either one of the DVDs or both. And my new one is out, too. That's Mystery Islands. And we really get into some obscure sites. And Nan Madal is very complex, elaborate arrangement of 92 artificial islands. As you can imagine, a group in the South Pacific putting together these artificial islands with these giant stone, they almost look like Lincoln Logs, monuments and structures, very elaborate, that didn't seem to have much human purpose. No doors, no windows. All of these artifacts, like pyramids, they have almost no doors and windows. They're not livable. They're not habitable. They're made with extremely heavy stones. They're cut perfectly. They're sheared off in one piece. They're not chiseled with little copper tools like we've been told that the slaves were sitting there for hours chiseling them away. They're cut perfectly square in giant blocks, and they're placed together so that not even a slice, a tiny piece of paper can fit in between them, and they're still standing to this day all over the world. So once again, this book that's so important is called Flying Serpents and Dragons by R.A. Boulay, B-O-U-L-A-Y. And he deeply gets involved in even talking about the seraphim of the Bible, the Old Testament, and how they very well may have been flying dragons, the seraph, which is translated as fiery serpents. And if you remember in the Old Testament, the Jews were worshiping them for a while, and Jehovah, of course, was very angry. And many of you, of course, know what I believe, that Jehovah is one of the Anunnaki, the generals out to conquer land in the Middle East, and was very involved in basically gold mining operations and taking the minerals from the land and conquering land at that point, because there was a tremendous fight amongst the custodians as to who would control which land. And once again, they're just like human beings. We share their genetics. And the female goddess Ishtar was given the land to the east and was went to India and established her bases there. And there are two ancient cities there. The main one is called Mohenjo-Daro. And once again, very advanced, complex cities with well-engineered streets, with drainage canals, and they had indoor plumbing and outdoor plumbing and public baths, and these are 5,000 years old. And this was Ishtar's home base. If you look at the deities or the gods that they worship in India, they are animal-human hybrids. They may have the head of an elephant, or they may have eight arms on each side of them, and The oldest documents, the Mahabharata and the Ramayana and the clay tablets, the Sumerian clay tablets, are pretty clear on why that is. They talk a lot about these early custodians being scientists, being geneticists, and going through a lot of trial and error with the native apes and animals that they found here and splicing it together with their genes and creating hybrids. And they made a lot of mistakes, apparently. This is what the clay tablets write about, and please refer to Zachariah Sitchin's books for incredible detail on this. And that there were some mistakes in hybrids, and there were giants roaming the land. And this, I believe, was a separate group that was on planet Earth, this group of giants. They were referred to as the Nephilim and the Raphaim in the Bible, especially after the flood. Noah's group, started to come off the mountain and the dry lands and reestablish society. And the custodians mated with them again and created these giants who were all throughout the lands. And the most famous one was, of course, Goliath in the Old Testament, who fought King David. And that was actually one of the last references to giants in the Bible. That was about 1000 B.C. So there's quite a few references in the Sumerian clay tablets to dragons. And they have particular names for them. Even Enki and Enlil and the main custodians, they're called Yushum Gal, which translates from Sumerian into English as wise serpent or fiery dragon. And this is all throughout these clay tablets. So once again, I feel that there were a couple different types of groups and types of beings. I know that most people in the metaphysical world believe strongly in UFOs, and they're with us today, and they're visiting, and the main theory that we're all bringing forth is that they were also present back then, thousands of years ago. And they had different appearances, just like the ETs do today. There's different descriptions and appearances. So what I'm laying out is that there were some that looked very human, very much like human beings. They were just taller and larger, with larger eyes. The men frequently had long gray beards and very pale skin, and they were very closely related to humans, and we share the genetics. And then the other hypothesis that R.A. Boulay is bringing forward is that there was another group that was more dragon-like in appearance, and more so in the East, in China and India, and definitely in India, they refer to the Nagas as these serpent humans who came down from the sky and were very benevolent and taught human beings art and architecture and construction and astronomy, etc. And they strongly believe to this day in India of the Nagas, who they now see are underground. And there's even staircases you can go down to when there's dragons on the doors, and if you're really brave, you can look inside, but I wouldn't do that. They're Ramayana and Mahabharata. You can buy those books. They're complex. They're like soap operas of the custodial gods fighting and loving and wars. And but they do refer to the Nagas and as actually flying around in spaceships and firing atomic weapons and all kinds of advanced weapons at each other. Once again, many people write this off as mythology, but I don't. Many researchers feel this is based somewhat on fact. And it's fascinating to look into. So we're all out of time, and thank you for joining me for this wonderful show on the angels with Linda Torres and my discussion of the book Flying Serpents and Dragons by R.A. Boulay. And I will see you next time on Odyssey. We're going to talk about emotional freedom technique. So that's a very powerful technique sweeping the metaphysical community. And thank you for joining me, and please go to my website and... I don't have commercials per se on this show, but I really count on my audience to purchase my DVDs. There's over 100 pictures on each DVD, and I show you ancient monuments all around the world and ancient maps and writings, and we weave a spider web. We tell a story because, by all accounts, the breadcrumbs along the trail all lead in the same direction, and it's to this third party, this Anunnaki. So please check out my first DVD, The Sands of Time, my second one, The Temples of Stone. And it's all on my webpage. And remember, shells are found on the beach. For pearls, we must dive. Thank you for joining me on Odyssey. I'll see you next time. Good night.